All right, Psalm number 18. Psalm number 18. If you look at the inspired headings here, dun sa taas ng Psalm, sa ilalim ng sinasabing Psalm 18, makikita natin yung mga kasulatan doon. Ito ay mga inspired headings or inspired writings concerning the background of the Psalms. So here it says, to the chief musician. And we all know who the chief musician is. There's Asaph. It could be Ethan, Asaph, or Jeduthun, which is Ethan. Heman, that's right. Heman, and so on and so forth. But more than likely, it'll probably be Asaph. And so, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Now, a psalm will be found in the book of Psalms 86 times. So there's going to be 86 psalms that says a psalm. It could be a psalm of David, a psalm of Asaph, a psalm for the sons of Korah. It could be a psalm of Moses, the one psalm of Moses, Psalm 90. But here it is a psalm of David, and a psalm of David is repeated 56 times. So this is one of 56, a psalm of David. And just something to notate. And the background of Psalm 18 is 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we'll look at that in a little bit here. We'll read Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22. Now, so the Lord gave David these words towards the end of his reign as king over Israel. And apparently David is celebrating and thanking God for the victories over all his enemies, including the violent man, King Saul. But of course, King Saul had already died. And in fact, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. The Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies." So David sits as a victorious king, finally conquering all his enemies. So you go over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. There's a lot of activities going on in 2 Samuel 21. For instance, he brings justice to the Gibeonites. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 21. Go over to verse number 3. "Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? So the famine came upon Israel, and the famine lasted for, I think, 3 years, it says. Yeah, 3 year famine. And the reason the famine came was because King Saul dishonored the Gibeonites back during King Saul's reign. And David looked into the matter and brought justice to the Gibeonites. You see that? The king is responsible to bring justice. And there was no justice for the Gibeonites. And so the Lord held Israel accountable. And David discovered that he needed to make something right. He needed to bring justice to the Gibeonites. So, verse number 4, "And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What shall ye say that I will I do for you? Verse 5, "And they answered the king, And the man that consumed us, that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us." So basically the Gibeonites said, "Well, King David, if you want to make this right by us, you can't pay us. We're not going to take any money. We want justice. And the sons of King Saul needs to be put to death." And so David brought death penalty to the sons of King Saul. And seven of his sons faced justice for the killing, the slaughter of the Gibeonites. And so you find there victory. Then the famine was finished when David obeyed the Lord and gave justice to the Gibeonites. Then, not only that, but there was a proper burial for King Saul and Jonathan and some of the men. Finally, a proper burial. Look at verse number 12, 2 Samuel 21, verse number 12. This is the background. These are the reasons why we have Psalm 18. These are the reasons why David's rejoicing that finally all his enemies and everything that he could accomplish as king is being accomplished. Verse number 12. David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried in the country of Benjamin and Zelah, in the sepulcher of Kish his father, and they performed all that the king commanded, and after that God was entreated for the land. So God blessed them because he honored the burial of the king and the king's sons, and so on and so forth. So then the last thing that happened in 2 Samuel 21 was the defeat of four Philistine giants. So there were still some giants that David faced. Not just David and Goliath before he became king, but even at the height of his monarchy, at the height of his rule, he defeated the giants of Philistines, or the Philistine giants. So verse number 22, 2 Samuel 21, verse 22, these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. And so you see, David took care of the Gibeonites. David gave a proper burial for Saul and Jonathan and the men. And David defeated the giants of Philistia. And so this victory after victory after victory, and the Lord blessed the land because the land was doing right. They were being just and righteous. You know, God is looking for our country to be just and righteous in order for him to bless. And so anyway, so David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And on David goes on and on, just rejoicing and thinking about how the Lord delivered him and blessed him. So we have a record in the hymn book. And we have a record of this in the history book. So there's history record, 2 Samuel 22. The hymn book record, Psalm 18. Now, Psalm 18 and Psalm 2 Samuel 22, they're similar. There's a few differences in the wordings. But more likely, David was probably thinking to himself, 2 Samuel 22 is the historical record, and then he makes it, he takes the record and he brings it into poetic, musical terms and polishes it a little bit for Psalm 18 for the chief musician to be used in public worship at the tabernacle during his time. And of course, looking forward to the time of the temple with King Solomon, as they will be using the book of Psalms for temple worship. So, kaya medyo different yung Psalm 20, yung Psalm 18 sa 2 Samuel 22. Yung 2 Samuel 22 ay kasaysayan, yung Psalm 18 ay yung awit na patungkol doon sa kasaysayan. All right? And so you'll find a little bit differences, a little bit of differences of wordings there. But it's generally the same, similar substance. Okay? So this is a song of victory, a song of praise, and a song of prophecy. Psalm 18 is all that. It's a lengthy psalm, And it's the first of the long psalms. There are other long psalms. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. So the longest psalm is Psalm 119. Second longest psalm is Psalm number 78. And Psalm 78 has 72 verses. Third is Psalm 89. And Psalm 89 has 52 verses. And fourth, Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is the fourth longest psalm with 50 verses. Okay? And this is also a prophetic psalm or messianic psalm. So we'll be looking at Christ here. Jesus, let me just say it this way. Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 18. Yes, King David's kingdom is being referred to here. David is the king, and David is who we're talking about here in Psalm 18. But David himself is a shadow of a coming king, and who will fulfill the promises of God concerning David. There is only one who is worthy, and that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will be the one to fulfill this psalm in all its fullness at the millennial kingdom, all right, in the future. So we see that. All right, so the outline. Well, you have 50 verses here. What's the outline? Well, it's simple outline. And we're looking at the chiastic. This is a asymmetrical chiasm. That just means that it's not really equal. I mean, there is some wiggle room here when you look at the details. But the overall outline to help us understand the flow of Psalm 18, let's see here. We have the chiasm. All right. From the Greek letter chi, meaning it looks like an X in English. So from verses 1 to 3, we have the rock. And verses 46 to 50, we have the rock. The Lord is my rock. David is celebrating or praising or thinking about God as his refuge, as his rock. And so we have that here. And then he closes the psalm, exalting God, the Lord, as his rock. Again, in Psalm, at the end of this. So you have the beginning and the end, the rock, the Lord. Then in the middle, you have verses 4 to verse 19, you have the deliverance. The deliverance. And he repeats that again in verses 30 to verse 45. The deliverance. Okay? You see that? You see how it parallels? The deliverance of the Lord, and then the deliverance of the Lord. The heart of this psalm will be the Lord's reward. The Lord's reward. And that'll be verses 20 to verse 29. And so you have the outline, the chiastic outline showing you the similarities between the beginning, the end, the middle, and the heart. You know, if you want to get to the heart of this psalm, it is that God rewards David for David's faithfulness. Because David is faithful to God, God could bless him. And that's something we need to learn as Christians. You want God to bless you? Then do that which is pleasing to the sight of the Lord. Be faithful, like David is. And we'll look at that here in a little bit. So let's look at verse number 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. You see, David is king. But David didn't present himself as king. He presented himself as servant of the Lord. And that's significant. Moses is a servant of the Lord. Joshua is a servant of the Lord. The prophets are servants of the Lord. Serving the Lord is the highest thing we can do. It's the best thing we can be. We need to be servants of the Lord. David was a king, but he didn't say, I'm king of Israel. You know, a psalm of David, the king of Israel. No, David begins by showing us his relationship to Jehovah God. He is a servant. And so the greatest thing we can be in life is not a king. It's to be servant of the Lord. And so who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies? So we looked at 2 Samuel 21. He had victory in the Gibeonites. He had victory in the burial of Saul and Jonathan's bones and some of those men. He had victory over the Philistine giants, the four giants. Just brought them down. Victory over his enemies like Shimei and Sheba and all the others. Absalom, unfortunately. Victory over that. Victory over his own sin. Victory over his own adulterous sin and murder of Uriah. Victory in his personal life. Victory in his public life as king. And the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, especially Saul, the violent man, the wicked man that pursued David all his life. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now, there are several personal pronoun, personal relationship with God words here. He calls God his strength. That word strength is different from the next strength in verse number 2. So he says strength twice. My strength in verse 1, my strength in verse 2. But verse 1 strength is help. God is my strength, my helper. And verse 2 strength is the Lord is my rock, or the boulder, or the cliff, or his refuge, his protector. So, I will love the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Notice his relationship with God. He calls him his strength. The Lord is my rock. Okay, his protector. My fortress. My deliverer. My God. My strength in whom I will trust. My buckler, that shield. A buckler is a shield. The horn of my salvation. That means God has power to deliver. And my high tower. So you see all that. All that. And these are military terms. David is familiar with the geography of Judah. All the cliffs and the rocks and the hills he had to climb. And escaping Saul and running and fighting and valleys and warfare. He's familiar with fortress. He's familiar with buckler. He's familiar with horns and high tower. You know, when you have somebody in a high tower, they're up there looking far in advance, waiting, anticipating for the enemy. And when they see the enemy coming, they can prepare. And he's a military expert, David is. And so these are military geographic descriptions. And he likens the Lord to the rock, his refuge, his helper, his deliverer. And so he had a personal relationship with the Lord. He had a personal relationship with the Lord. I wonder, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? You know? Let me encourage you, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, well then maybe you can't say this now, but if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can make Him your personal Lord and Savior. Then you can have a personal relationship with God and call upon Him and ask Him to help you. And then He will, and then you'll be able to say, I love Thee, O Lord, Thou art my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Wow, what a personal relationship will do when your personal relationship with the Lord is right. Okay? All right, so that's very, very important. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death come past me. The floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. Death often visited David. There are many times when David was at the paw of death. Okay, you had the bear and the lion. The paw of the bear and the lion was after David. And the paw of King Saul was always after David. I mean, David was in danger for a good portion of his life. He was in danger. And so was Paul, the Apostle Paul. Look over in 2 Corinthians. He said it like this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. What's that saying? Often, almost dead. Almost dead. And David was the same way. He's saying, basically, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Verse 5. The snares of death prevented. The word prevented in verse 5 means the pre-event. Not stop, like prevent, stop. But pre-event, to go before or to anticipate. So the snares of death went before David. That David's life was in danger. He could have died. He could have died in, with the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear and the and King Saul. He could have died with the giant Goliath. He could have died when Absalom rebelled against him. He could have died in so many ways. But the Lord protected him. Verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And listen to this. He heard my voice out of his temple. Wait a minute. What temple are we talking about? Where did the children of Israel worship during the time of King David? Was there a temple built already? No. There was the tabernacle. Who would build the first temple? Solomon. King Solomon would build the temple later. What temple is he talking about? The Lord heard my voice out of his temple. Well, guess what? This is talking about the Lord's temple in heaven. You see, the temple, the tabernacle and the temple have a design already in heaven. And God was just giving Moses the plan of how he wanted him to build the tabernacle. He gave David the plan and Solomon executed the plan of how to build the temple. But the Lord had a temple in heaven. And here's the exciting thing. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Verse 6, man, I tell you what. If you pray to God, your prayers enter into God's presence. Our prayers go right into the ears of God. Prayers. So important. To pray. Prayer comes before the heavenly temple, the abode of God. I mean, prayers reach the ears of God. Are you praying? Do you pray? Well, you can have confidence that if you're a born-again believer and you know the Lord is your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ gives access to our prayers right into the temple of God, right into his ear. I wonder if the Lord hears you pray. Verse number 7. From verse 7 to verse 14, David is explaining how God is in control of nature. God is in control of nature. God is in charge of the weather. Now, people today say, well, it's Mother Earth. Or, well, it's Mother Nature. Mother Nature is having a conniption fit, you know. And Mother Earth is going through it, you know. That's not biblical. That's not Bible. It's not Mother Nature. It's not Mother Earth. Look at verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Let me tell you something. God, when God gets angry, he uses earthquakes and nature. Verse number 8. There went up smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth, devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. They're all under his control. The angel, the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters, thick clouds of the skies. You see that? Nature, skies, cloud, water, darkness is all under the power of God. At the brightness that was before him was thick clouds pass, hailstones and coals of fire. God's in charge. And he uses all this. The Lord, verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. This is not the work of Mother Nature. This is the work of Lord God Almighty. Everything is subservient to the Lord. Verse 15, the channels of water were seen, the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above and took me, he drew me out of many waters. That's like Moses. David likens himself to someone like Moses, another servant of the Lord. And God always sends a deliverer for his people. Who is the deliverer of the people of God today? Who are we looking for to come and save us and deliver us out of this world? It's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you see. So Jesus fulfills this. He's the ultimate fulfillment. Now, David is the intermediate fulfillment. And Moses is another one who is likened to Christ. So Jesus is the second Adam. Jesus is the second Moses. Jesus is the second David. It's all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate, all right? But verse number 16, he drew me out of many waters, like Moses. And he delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Yeah, you got something that's too strong for you? Well, guess what? You can trust in the Lord. You can go to God in prayer. A situation that's beyond your control is not beyond the control of the Lord. And we need to go to God, you see. All right, let's see. They prevented me. Again, prevented means they go before me. They go before me, or they anticipate me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. Here's another personal thing. My stay. It's the Lord. He brought me forth also into a large place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. David is a faithful believer. Let me tell you, Christian, when you are a faithful Christian, you are the delight of God. You can go to God and ask him for deliverance and pray to him. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Listen here. Verse 20 to verse 29 is the Lord's reward. And this is significant. David got right with God, and because David got right with God, he can ask God to help him and know that God will help him. He had confidence in the Lord because he made it right with God. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Are your hands clean? I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. I kept the Lord's ways. I didn't depart from the plans of God. I have not wickedly departed from my God. He's not a backslider. He's a faithful believer. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I didn't put away his statutes. I read the Bible. I follow the Bible. I keep it. I obey it. This is the position of strength. This is a position of sanctification. And so when a Christian is right with God, they honor the words of God. They keep his statutes. They don't put it away. A backslider is the one who puts away the word of God. Or an unsaved person. I can understand an unsaved person putting away the words of God. Ah, the words, they don't matter. This whole thing doesn't matter. That's the attitude of those who are not saved. But a Christian who's right with God, oh man, give me more of the word of God. I want it. I want to know it. For all his judgments were before me. I did not put away his statutes. I was also upright before him. Now, you can be upright before people, but the most important person you need to be upright with is God, because God knows your heart. And I kept myself from mine iniquity. Oh, David had a propensity to lust and sin. And David learned his lesson when he had a terrible relationship with Bathsheba and sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah and the Lord and himself. And David made a decision. He repented. That means he turned. He stopped. He acknowledged his sin before the Lord. He stopped sinning. And he no longer goes back to that sin. You see? I kept myself from mine iniquity. David dealt with his sin, his personal sin. Therefore, verse 24, hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his eyesight. And God could bless him because he was right with God. With the merciful, this is how the Lord is. Verse 25 is like a mirror. If you're right with God, God will do you right. If you sin against God, God will do you wrong. He will judge you. Verse 25, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. See, if you're merciful, God will show himself merciful. With an upright man wilt thou show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. You see, God will deal with you according to who you are. See, if you are right with God, God will deal with you in a righteous way. If you scorn the Lord, if you're a scorner, God will scorn you. That's how the Lord works. You see. Verse 27, thou wilt save the afflicted, the people, but will bring down high looks. That's pride. High looks, proud. God hates pride. And he will bring down the high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Wow. Imagine, apart from God, we have darkness. Without the Lord, everything is darkness. And so, don't walk away from God. He'll walk away from you. You don't want that. If you draw closer to the Lord, guess what? The Lord will draw close to you, you see. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. I like that verse. The word of the Lord is tried. You know, you can trust in the Lord and you can trust in his word because his word has been tested and tried and proven. We are not the first believers to go through problems go to God and God is not going to deliver us. That's not the record, okay? For God, his way is perfect. You may not like his way, but you can trust him that it's perfect. His word is tried. I mean, think of how old is this Bible? David wrote Psalm 18, a few hundred years before Jesus was born. The Bible was complete AD 96, so it's a 4,000-year-old book. A 4,000-year-old Bible, has it been tried and tested? Do you think people have questioned whether the Bible's legit? Yes. Yeah? People have asked, you know, is this Bible true? Is this Bible real? They've examined the locations, the geography. They've dug up all these places in the 1800s and validated every historical fact of the Bible. This word of God has been tried. So, you know, if you're not trusting in the Lord, trusting in His Word, you're challenging His Word. Join the club. Take a number, because God will deal with you. Anyway, He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. God will be a shield to all those who trust in Him. Isn't this psalm great? This is a tremendous psalm. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Nobody else is like Him. Again, the theme of rock is there. God, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Let me tell you something. David had to experience running away from King Saul many times over the hills and rocks of Judea. You know how easy it is to twist your ankle? You know, you ever done that? Walk the street and then all of a sudden there's a pothole and woo, you bend your ankle and all the pain. Oh, you know what David said? He said God prevented David from twisting his ankle. Look at verse 33. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. God protected David. Verse 34. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Wow. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness had made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. David knew why he was successful. He wasn't successful because of himself. He was successful because God blessed him. I have punished, pursued my enemies, verse 37, and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. I mean, this is how you pray to God. This is the kind of stuff you ought to rehearse to the Lord. Lord, you're the reason why I could do what I'm doing. You protected me. All these years you protected me. You're the one. You're the reason why I have this. You see? Giving glory to God, praising Him. Verse number 40. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. That's Saul. That's Absalom. That's the Philistine giants. All his enemies. They cried, but there was none to save them. Even unto the Lord, but He answered them not. Wow. Backsliders and unsaved people can cry unto the Lord all they want, and God won't answer them. You see that? You can't fool God, you see. Verse 42, then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I cast them out as dirt in the streets. What a metaphor. What a metaphor. Wow, let's see, dust streets here, where am I? Verse 43, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me, the strangers shall submit themselves unto me, and the strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. So basically, David is rejoicing and thanking God for his deliverance, and again, returning to meditating and thinking about how God is the rock and the fortress and his deliverer. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Verse 47, it is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Who's the violent man? King Saul, the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Wow. So, positionally and practically, David was right with God, and so God was able to bless him. Now, as believers, as Christians, how do we positionally gain righteousness? Where do we get righteousness from? From Jesus Christ. You know, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you are positionally placed in Jesus Christ. You are in Christ by faith. And because you are in Christ, Jesus took your sins and gave you His righteousness. Positionally, in Christ, a believer is a saint, is a sanctified one. Positionally, in Christ, you are righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus. Not because of me, not because of you, not because of what we do. We have a position in Christ by faith. Now, we practice righteousness every day. We apply the righteousness of Christ every day by faith, trusting in the Lord, depending upon Him. We put to practice the righteousness of Christ. And so, that's practical righteousness. David had both. He had positional righteousness. He had practical righteousness. And then, ultimately, when we die, we have perfected righteousness. We go to glory. We become glorified. We graduate. We no longer have to fight sin. I mean, when a person goes to heaven, they no longer have to fight sin. Wow! Imagine that. Not just positional righteousness, not just practical righteousness, but perfect righteousness. You know, our knowledge of God is limited because of our fallen nature. But when we become glorified, we are put to perfection. We will have no hindrance in our understanding of who God is and His Word. We're going to learn more and more about the Lord in heaven. Every day will be fresh to discover more truths about God. And nothing will hinder our understanding. We're not going to be tired in heaven. We're not going to be bored in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. No tears. And this is all going to happen when Jesus Christ sets up His kingdom on earth. Oh, we will have what we call justice on earth when Jesus comes back. King Jesus will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And great deliverance giveth He to His King, showing mercy to His anointed. Who is God's anointed? Here it is David. But in the millennial kingdom, God's King, God's anointed one, is Jesus Christ. And to His seed forevermore, to all those who put their trust in the Lord, we will rule and reign as kings and priests in the kingdom of God someday. All because of Jesus. The Lord is the rock. That's what Psalm 18 is all about. The Lord is the rock. Do you have a now, is He your rock? Is He a personal Savior to you? I hope so. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank You, Lord, that King David had victory over his situation. And I certainly pray, God, that You would bring victory in the lives of Your people. Help us to trust in the Lord. Help us to examine Psalm 18 and study it further, looking at the different aspects of who God is and David's personal relationship with God and how the Lord delivered David. And it was the Lord that was behind David all along. Every victory that David had was because of the Lord. And so it is with us as Your children, as Christians. Our victories is because of You, Lord. And we acknowledge You in our situation, nature, subservient to the Lord. Everything subservient to the Lord. And all because of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to the time when Jesus will rule as King over this wicked world and bring justice to this world. We pray that would happen, Lord. And we anticipate that time And we pray that you would bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, Sunday, 9 o'clock is the children's modified children's Sunday school ministry. Get there earlier, 8:30, get there. That'd be good to help out with the children. And also, wag kalimutan.
Maghugas ng kamay.
Yon, maghugas ng kamay. Ate Raquel says, thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you, Ate Raquel. God bless you and everybody else. Maraming salamat po sa pagbati, sabi ni Kuya Lito. Amen. God bless you. Happy belated, happy birthday, Brother Lito.
Magandang gabi.
Oh, so yun, sabi ni Joe, magandang gabi daw. God bless you.